From Milwaukee's NPR, this is Capital Notes. We break down the big political news affecting Wisconsin. I'm Ayan Silver, speaking with J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com. He provides a roundup of the Wisconsin developments you need to know. Here's our latest conversation. Hi, J.R., welcome back to Capital Notes.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so since we spoke 2 weeks ago, there's been a surge of protests on college campuses in the country involving tent encampments over the war in Gaza, including at UW-Madison and UW-Milwaukee. This is an election year. What are the political implications of this development on the race for president in Wisconsin?
Well, go back and look at what happened in the primary in Wisconsin in April with the uninstructed vote. Remember, that's the option for people voting in the Democratic primary. If they weren't happy with Joe Biden, they could go ahead and vote uninstructed. It was basically a way to, signify people's unhappiness with his policies, especially toward Israel and the conflict over there. People argued to me after that vote that, okay, look, it's April, people are unhappy, but they'll come home come November because it's Trump on the ballot against Biden. Well, now you're seeing these protests, people are kind of wondering, well, will they really come home? Because, look, school's out, finals are coming up, and the kids will go home for the summer, so that will help dissipate things. But what about in the fall? What if there isn't a ceasefire by September, the classes start up again? Could you see this play out all through the fall into November? Possibly. That has some Democrats worried that it'll be harder to reunify the party over this issue by November, when that really is going to matter.
Tamara Keith is an NPR reporter, and she noted that Biden continues to try with other world leaders to encourage a ceasefire, but he doesn't really seem like he's moving towards the more progressive wing of his party. She notes that there are real divisions about the protests, whether they're effective, whether the rhetoric has turned too far to the left to be considered anti-Semitism. Do you see this affecting coalitions on the left in Wisconsin?
Oh, it's definitely impacting the coalition in Wisconsin in terms of that youth vote. Remember, in 2022, in November election, in spring of 2023, there's a perception that college kids turned out in big numbers, especially in the abortion issue, and helped Tony Evers win re-election as governor, helped Janet Protasiewicz to her 11-point win in the Supreme Court race. Will those kids be as enthusiastic this fall about Joe Biden with this issue? Now, remember, there's also a disconnect between the average person on campus and those who are protesting, real people versus those on social media. It's not necessarily a reflection of everybody, but there's definitely a vocal part of that youth group, that block of voters, unhappy and making their voices heard. Will that carry through to the fall? That's the big question. Will it keep going through November?
And what about coalitions on the right? We've seen people like Assembly Speaker Robin Voss weigh in on this, U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde, Congressman Derek Van Orden. How are they trying to, in a sense, capitalize on this?
So for conservatives, one, they see the opportunity to highlight the more extreme voices in these protest movements to basically label everybody who's protesting as anti-Semitic, even if they're not, they're all being lumped together. And two, they see an opportunity to make an argument there's still chaos. Remember back in 2020 when Joe Biden was elected president, he ran on this theme that he was going to kind of bring order. He was going to make things less hectic all the time because, Donald Trump was always on then Twitter every day making statements that roiled, people and the markets and everything else. Biden talked about how a return to normalcy. Well, fast forward to now, and there's inflation out there. People are unhappy. There are protests on college campuses. It's just a way for Republicans to say, look, there's still chaos. He promised you this sense of calm, and he's not delivering it. So it's a way to kind of make an argument that Biden's not living up to his promises, and that there's maybe when people are unhappy out the direction of the country and the economy, it plays into that, and they can play off those feelings and amplify them with these college protests, saying, hey, look what's going on. Are you happy about this too?
And of course, this is, these protests are about foreign policy. They're about things happening thousands of miles away. Other political experts have said that elections generally aren't won or lost on foreign policy. Do you think that's not accurate this year?
It just depends. But with these protests, there are people unhappy. And again, if it's enough to keep them home, that's a problem for Joe Biden. Remember, he only won Wisconsin by 20,600 votes or something like that in 2020. He can't afford to lose any piece of his coalition to win unless Trump loses people from his coalition in 2020. Don't forget, You know, we keep seeing these primary votes in the Republican side where, you know, Nikki Haley's getting 15-20% of the vote. There's some unhappiness on the Republican side as well. And what I'm wondering is, we had like 3.3 million people vote in Wisconsin in 2020 in that presidential race. It was, I think, less than 3 million in 2016. Where are we going to be at for a presidential race? People talk about in polls the double haters. They're people who don't like either Biden or Trump. If their people are that unhappy with their choices, will they just stay home? If they just stay home, who's going to be the most enthusiastic to turn out? That's a huge question. We see in some polling that Trump voters are more enthusiastic about the election. But we also see time and again in these special elections where Democrats outperform their expectations, driven by issues like abortion. So it'll be interesting to see if it is a low turnout election compared to what Wisconsin's used to, who's the most motivated and how that impacts the overall vote total.
You're tuned in to Lake Effect. I'm WWM's Mayan Silver, speaking with J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com. Okay, so switching gears here for a moment to fundraising. A member of the state GOP's executive committee has called for an overhaul of the party's fundraising approach after a disappointing start to 2024. Can you fill us in on that?
Sure. Looking through the finance reports through the end of March, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin outraised the Republican Party by like 15 to 1. Now, there's been a disparity in the fundraising for a while now. Ben Wickler, the Democratic State Party chair, is a phenomenal fundraiser. They have got a great machine working over there between his national ties. And, you know, it's easier to raise money as a party when you have the governor's office. So Wickler and Governor Evers are a great team in terms of fundraising. And for Republicans, they were so frustrated with the disparity that they went to a paid chair model a year and a half ago. Brian Schimming has been that first paid chair in years. And so far, it's not reaping any reward for going that route. And the argument from Will Martin, one of the executive committee members, is that they need to kind of ramp things up, that there is too much competition for in-state dollars between the new legislative maps and how the Assembly Republicans and Senate Republicans will be working for, you know, competing for those dollars for their legislative races, that Eric Hovde running for U.S. Senate is going to be looking for money from state donors, that the national Republican National Convention coming to Milwaukee, that the people putting that on are asking Wisconsin donors for money. He's saying we should be diversifying our portfolio, essentially, and going out state to find people. And I've heard that argument from Republicans before of, you look, if you are an Illinois business person in Chicago and you're a Republican, you're not going to win the state legislature in Illinois. Why would you give money to the state GOP in Illinois? Why aren't Republicans in Wisconsin going to those folks and saying, hey, there's a chance to really change things here? The Democratic Party, you know, they go to California a lot. They have a lot of big donors out there. They're Republicans in California. They write checks. Same like in New York. Both very blue states top the ticket, but there are opportunities there to raise money. And the questions being asked by Republicans I talk to is, why isn't the state GOP doing a better job of getting those out-of-state donors to invest in Wisconsin? And they're needed with all the competition for in-state money with what's going on to really help the party turn things around.
But you did mention that the state Democratic Party has outraised its Republican counterpart 15 to 1 through the first quarter of 2024. What does that, I mean, why is that important for somebody who's not a political watcher to know about that?
Because that money is used to pay for infrastructure. So like both parties have a state campaign fund and a federal campaign fund. There are rules about how you use state money versus federal money. So the Democratic Party of Wisconsin can't go use state money to cut an ad supporting Tammy Baldwin, right? That's a federal candidate. They can't do that. But there are ways to use that state money to pay for people who knock on doors, people who, you know, people who come out to help drive turnout, to put staff on the ground. And there's a mix of state and federal dollars paying for that. They have more resources to hire more people. That means more opportunities to turn out people who maybe are reluctant about Joe Biden or maybe don't know enough about what's going on to have taken a side. I mean, there's just more opportunities to get people engaged when you have more dollars. That's the way it works in politics. So they can pay for infrastructure that Republicans, they will definitely get help from the national committee. Trump building a campaign here would help. But Democrats overall in Wisconsin just are well out ahead of Republicans from Joe Biden's campaign onto the state party. They have more resources.
And, you know, you've mentioned this 15 to 1 haul in the beginning of 2024. What does it mean on the bottom line? Like, what's in the bank accounts? Do you know that number?
So as of kind of the last reports they had filed, Democrats had about a 5-to-1 cash in hand advantage over the Republicans. What I'm watching for is there'll be a report due in mid-July that'll give us a fuller look at the first 6 months of 2024 and see that the Republicans have any progress in closing that gap, or if Democrats have widened it, and what they're doing in terms of fundraising as we head into the key presidential election.
Thanks for digging into all this, JR, and thanks for joining me on Capitol Notes.
Anytime.
That was J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com, speaking with me, WUWM's Mayan Silver. Listen for our segments every other Monday with an extended segment on Lake Effect. And check out the Capitol Notes podcast wherever you get your podcasts.